Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to be with us today and anoint us and give us wisdom and show us the things to come, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, saints, I'm going to go for it. We're going to call this Bride Cleansed of the Church's Ways. Amen. And this first one is all about the woman church's failures. It was given to Andrew Galinas in 2019. He said, "In my dream, a woman," which I believe to be the woman of Revelation 12, the church, "a woman in a wetsuit and riding a jet ski was showing me how she searches for people in trouble in the water." And again, this woman represents the church in apostasy. She then spotted a surfer in need of rescuing. We sped over and she threw him a tow line. And then we began to speed off. Well, what I know about this revelation is that the woman saves people but doesn't recognize that they still need sanctification from all of her ways, and they fall away in great numbers because of this. Then she said, "We need to watch out for large things in the water." What does the apostate woman worry about in the water, which is the Word of God, I believe? He said, "I saw many large fish and whales near the surface as we sped over them." And I think this means that the church is preoccupied with saving their people from the perceived dangers of the large, mature fish like Jesus. Yes, they warn you away from all of those people that actually know the Word of God. We then passed between a pair of small peninsulas and into a small gulf. Then she told me how it used to take hours to get from one end of the water to the other, but now it only takes a few minutes. The water could be the Word. And the woman church is great about shortcuts, but is not being sanctified along the way. So that's another thing about the church that God dislikes. And when I say church, in this respect, we're talking about the apostate church. We're talking about those that are called the church. The real church is the called out ones, the ones who have come out from among them, right? So the whole time I was thinking about the person on the tow line, but the woman seemed too preoccupied with boasting. And I looked back and saw that the person was no longer on the line because they were moving way too fast. We know how it is with skis. If you go too fast, that water becomes like glass and you're headed for a wreck, right? And my thought about this is church incompetence causes a great falling away. They just want to claim they got somebody. You know, we counted another number. But keeping them alive by feeding them with the Word of God is not really on their schedule. We came to the end of the body of water, so we turned around. But for some reason, the water level dropped significantly so that the two small peninsulas had now turned into one sandbar, and we could go no further on water. Well, that doesn't stop the woman that she don't have the water. The woman church is skimming over the top of the waters of the Word, but comes to a dead end as always. And it doesn't matter that there's no Word to support what they do. The woman smiled as if this was the plan all along. Oh, yes, they don't make any mistakes, you know. We got off of the jet ski and onto the sand, the sinking sand, right? If you build your house on the sand, what's going to happen, right? It was a beautifully colored tropical coral reef that was now completely out of the water. Well, you know what happens when a coral reef comes out of the water. The small creatures in need of the water are dying. Yeah. The woman sat down on a small boulder. And that's when I noticed a sea snake slithering near her hand. Hand represents works, right? It's very easy for the devil to take over their works because they're not inoculated with the Word of God, right? I alerted her to it and warned her that they were very venomous. She grabbed it by the tail and swung it head first into a rock, killing it. So what do we see from this? If alerted to the obvious enemies, they deal with them, but much more are beneath her surface, meaning this place represented her life, right? Because it goes on to say, then I noticed little holes in the sand in front of me where more of the snakes were peeking out. Yep, they're hidden, but they're under the earth or under the flesh, right? I then saw a hammer sitting right next to the holes. So I picked it up and struck one in the head, flattening it. I was going to kill more of them, but I suddenly felt sorry for killing them in their own habitat. Their habitat is the flesh, the serpents in the flesh, the old man in the flesh, right? And we don't need to have any mercy on the old man. The Lord said, go into that land and kill him, right? Kill the old man of the flesh. Have no mercy on him. And when I awoke, I knew I could not hesitate to eradicate every spiritual vermin I discovered dwelling in my spiritual promised land. Amen. Good revelation. The righteous are not satisfied with a surface cleansing. They want to go deeper, and they won't end up separating from the woman, right? Of course, you know, playpens were made to climb over the walls and get out of, right? Climb over the bars and get out and run. Very interesting, very good word there. The Lord is divorcing the harlot to marry his bride. This is another revelation given to Missy Pollock on 2:27:20. And Eve got it before I did, and she put some notes in there, very good notes. And then I also put some notes. In this dream, I went to meet with a lawyer. And she puts in parentheses, Jesus is our advocate. Yes, he is. At a restaurant to talk about divorce. Mm-hmm. So we must come out of her, my people, so that we don't fall under her curses, for God is divorcing her. Mm-hmm. I was surprised to see that it was my old boyfriend. First love, right? Tim was his name, and I sat down at a table with him. His first name is Brian, which means noble. Timothy means one who honors God. And his last name is Harcourt, and that means fortified farm. Amen. Sounds like somebody we know. And I believe this, of course, is a type of her first love, Jesus, who is in the David man-child's as the reformers. Song of Solomon 4:12. A garden shut up is my sister, my bride. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. And Eve put, the Lord is divorcing the apostate church in our day, just as he divorced the apostate Jews. Isaiah 50:1. Says, thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, wherewith I have put her away? or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities were you sold, and for your transgression was your mother put away. All right. He divorced the mother church of that day, which was the apostate people of God in that day, because of their adultery with the world. And Missy said, I realized at that point that I had listened to him report the good news over the years, but didn't know it was his voice. And she puts in parenthesis, the Lord speaking through David has been telling us the Lord's real good news and sharing news articles through the Bible studies for years. And she puts, the Lord was giving me a correction of looking at the news about what was going on with the coronavirus, and that all I needed to do is listen to what David shares and what the Lord speaks to me directly. We are to dwell in the heavenlies, setting our mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. That's the Lord's command. And, you know, we get addicted to this. Oh, boy, let's see what's going to happen next, you know. It's like the Colosseum, right? Let's see what's going to happen. Going to happen now, you know. When are they going to get this and that done, and so on. So we get addicted to this stuff rather than the Word of God, and it sits there. But you can't bear fruit on this stuff, right? She said, that way it is easier to hear the Lord's voice instead of all these other voices. John 10 and 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yes, amen. How do we get to know his voice? Well, we sit down and we become familiar with who he is by what we read in the Bible. Amen. And then we're familiar with his voice and we can follow his voice. And then we won't be departing from the Word of God, right? And Eve put, when we get away from the Word and get caught up in the worldly news, it becomes harder to hear the Lord's voice and be led by his Spirit. Yes, that's true. Amen. And I told him that his voice sounds different than it used to. I used to get the bad report, the leavened word, she says, through another Jesus, the apostate leadership. I asked the Lord for verses concerning his voice sounding different, and I received by faith at random Zephaniah 3:14 and 15. In context, 14 through 17, starting at 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, that's Jerusalem, the bride, right? Shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not fear evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, O Zion. Let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. So the Lord comes in Zion, in the bride. He's coming in the bride. By his word and by his Spirit, he is coming in the bride. And the bride is, their bride's enemies are cast out by the King of Israel. The Lord is saving a bride out of the apostasy that's in the church. And she got 2 Kings 19:5-7. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall you say to your master. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. So the beast who has conquered the harlot 10 tribes, because they turned away from the Lord and worshiped the golden calves once more, but he failed to conquer the bride. And here is where they are destroyed, 185,000 of them. And they turned and left Zion, never having to fight a battle. And that was because in those days, Zion was holy. It followed the Lord. The beast conquered the apostates, 10 tribes, because they didn't follow the Lord. Verse 7, behold, I will put a spirit in him, and he shall hear tidings and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. All right, that's a good text to receive, right? Eve said, the words that thou hast heard represents the bad news report that will cause us to become distracted and fearful like the apostates. Exactly so. They said the same kinds of things, I'm sure, to the northern 10 tribes who weren't serving the Lord, so their conscience wasn't clean and their faith wasn't there. All right? I knew he wanted us to get back together and get married. And this was, of course, because Missy was no longer walking in the ways of the apostate church, which is being divorced. She no longer needed a divorce because she was going to follow the Lord. In Mark 11 and 11, and he entered into Jerusalem. This is what she received. Into the temple. There you go. Where did he say he was coming? To Zion. All right. And when he had looked around about upon all things, it being now eventide, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And she says, this represents the consummation of the marriage of the Lord to his bride. That's right. He entered into Jerusalem. Huh. Good answer. So Eve said, John the Baptist refers to the 12 disciples as the bride of Christ when he said, he who hath the bride is the bridegroom. Yeah. In this verse, Jesus went out at eventide with his bride, and they both forsook or divorced the apostates. Amen. As we talked, I told him that I had no grounds for divorce. That is from the king. Yes. I knew I was married to a Chinese man. She says, in parenthesis, my old man, a foreigner, and of course his church too, right? And that we didn't consummate our marriage. Also, we didn't even live together. So she had come out from among them and would not be divorced from the king. You can take your choice if you're in the apostate church. You can stay in apostasy, not bear fruit, and you will be divorced from the king. Or you can come out from among them and follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth and learn of him, like those disciples did, who John the Baptist called the bride. There you go. And 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 tells us the same story. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity? Now, he's including here, of course, unbelievers who proclaim to be in the church, but they don't believe the word of God. You can tell, because when you bring the word of God, they don't have to believe that. They have to believe what their preacher says. Okay. What fellowship has righteousness with iniquity? Or what communion hath light with darkness? And in other words, if you're sitting in one of these dead churches and it's so dark that they don't believe in the power of God, they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, they don't believe in receiving the Holy Spirit, they don't believe in tongues or any other thing like that, they don't believe in the supernatural power of God, and they don't have it. The Lord said, come out from among them. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? You know, what agreement has a body of Christ with the body of Satan? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? And that's what they are. They've got this idol, this preacher, this organization that their mom and dad were in, and they are too. They're not worried about comparing it with the Word to see if it's really biblical. They've got an idol. For we are a temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And he said, thinking she had no grounds for divorce means our old man and his old way of thinking. It is the old covenant under the law, and the apostates want you to stay married to your old man and in bondage. Yes, they do. And they will, you know, kind of browbeat you if you don't decide to stick with their beliefs, even though you can prove that they are not biblical. That's an idol. That always shows you idolatry, right? Their doctrines don't allow people to separate from their sin nature. That's true. They make up doctrines so that you can keep your sin nature. Song of Solomon 1:6, look not upon me because I am swarthy, because the sun has scorched me. My mother's sons were incensed against me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Yeah, see to it to get the board out of your eye clearly before you try to get the mote out of your brother's eye. That's what Jesus said. First, you got to get something before you've got something to give away, right? And what going on, not having consummated the marriage or even lived together, represents that we were chosen to be in Christ from the foundation of the world, and he sees the end from the beginning and sees us through the blood of Jesus without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So we are justified by our faith, that we no longer live, but that Christ lives in us. And this annuls our union with the old man and the apostate church. In a sense, by faith, our marriage to him was never consummated, and we endeavor not to live with our old man. True. Thank you, Jesus. And so back to Missy's here, Tim, which in this text is a type of Jesus in the Davids, right? Tim said things weren't good with his marriage either, and that it was time to end the marriage. Yeah, true. Jeremiah 3:8, and I saw when for this very cause that backsliding Israel had committed adultery, and I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet treacherous Judah, her sister, feared not, but she also went and played the harlot. But my thought is that Jerusalem was sanctified of these in order to escape the beast and become the bride. Yes. And Missy said, I told Tim that I knew the word pretty good, but that I didn't know the Old Testament as well as I'd like to. I also said that I didn't see anything in the Word that permitted me to divorce. So she has in parentheses, not knowing the Old Testament very well represents coming out from under the law and being a son of the free woman. That's right, it does. Galatians 4, 1 through 7 says, "But I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a bondservant, though he is Lord of all." Of course, Paul is rebuking them for being saved and then going back under the law of the old covenant, which he didn't make with them. So, as long as the heir is a child, he is like a bondservant, he says. That's a slave to the law in this case, even though he is really Lord of all. But he don't know that. He can't be told that under the law, because the law can make nothing perfect, right? Verse 2, "But is under guardians and stewards until the day appointed of the Father." Yep, they're in the playpen until they're big enough to climb out over the bars. "So we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the rudiments or principles of the world." The old covenant is to just that, principles of the world. "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, and that we might receive the adoption of sons." Yes. "And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Amen. Thank you, Father. We are heirs through God. We don't want to be bondservants of the old covenant. We want to be free to serve the Lord by grace through faith. And so she said, "Verses I received by faith at random are Psalm 83:6, the tents of Edom, and the Ishmaelites." And she puts fleshly works of the divorced factions. Yeah. Moab and the Hagarines. So she said, what came to mind was this verse, Galatians 4:29. Through 31. "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, so also it is now." It's still true. Those that are born after the flesh, even though they profess Christianity, they persecute those that are born after the Spirit because they're so contrary to the Spirit. They don't realize that they're contrary to Christ, who is fully Spirit, right? "Howbeit, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son." So they can call themselves Christians, but if they're under law, legalism, law of some church instead of the word of the Lord, they're still a handmaid and her son. "For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman." A free woman is the one who lives under grace through her faith, right? "Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman." And also Romans 8:6, "For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace." Amen. And another one she got was Lamentations 2:9. "Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the nations where the law is not. Yea, her prophets find no vision from the Lord." Yet there are those out there that aren't filled with the Spirit that proclaim to know prophecy, and they teach prophecy, but it's all a thing of their mind, and it all turns out to be not true. One I will tell you about is The Late Great Planet Earth. Y'all remember that one? Oh, lots of people read that. I read it too. None of that came to pass. It was all the letter. It was all out of the mind, and it didn't come to pass. So, anyway, she has in parenthesis here, news media or apostate leaders don't have the spiritual eyes to see what the Lord is doing. It doesn't matter what man is doing, which is the only thing that they can report on. Yep. So she said, I asked a text for Tim, who represented the David man Charles in the dream, right? Ecclesiastes 11 and 1, which is, by the way, the man-child's number. All through the New Testament, 111 is the man-child's number. It's all about the birth of the man-child. Go and look. It'd be about the birth of Jesus and all the different ways it's spoken of. And that's the gematria there is 111. And here, Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 5. Verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Well, I believe he's probably talking to the man-child here. Give a portion to seven, yea, even unto eight. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. Well, he's saying, be careful how you die, right? You can make sure that if you die, you're going to be in the kingdom, right? He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Yep. Well, the man Charles should continue to sow the word, for the fruit is coming in great numbers. While it's hidden under the earth, it really doesn't show very much, but there's going to be an explosion of things popping up everywhere. Verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the wind, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, talking about Christ in you, right? Even so thou knowest not the work of God who doeth all. You just do your job. Man-child company out there, you just do your job and share the word. It will come up. The word of the Lord will not come forth void, right? And in parenthesis here, Missy put, here are some thoughts that came to me with this verse. Looking at all these news events and even the things in general in the physical realm keep me from being led by the God Spirit. That's true. It is. It is so. The Lord is doing all these things going on around me. I need to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And she was given Psalm 119 and 22. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Amen. Good prayer. Remember, those who walk in righteousness are going to be persecuted by those who walk in the flesh. No matter if they're calling themselves Christians or not. Christian is Christ-like, of course. Those who speak and report of the things that they see in the news and in the natural, and by the way, the lies of the faction, will oppress me if I listen to them. I must listen for the Lord's voice and follow him. Amen. Get a good exhortation. So here's another one. The bride is coming out of the world. This was given to Claire Pienaar in 3:14 of 20. And she said, my friend Monique, which is Hebrew for she who resolves, she who decides, and I were at a banquet. It was sunset. In other words, running out of time to live in the light, right? and many people we knew were there. All, she has in parentheses, all unsaved fleshly people we knew while at the university. But what do they represent? Representing the worldly church and their Bible colleges, right? And their preachers from their Bible colleges who preach nothing but what they were told. They had to get agreement, you know, that they were giving the correct answers in order to get their certificate. And so this destroys people. You're coming into agreement with a lot of unbelief. And everyone was drinking and being loud. Drinking here is, of course, spiritual, you know, not being able to see things correctly, so on and so forth. Nahum 3 and 5. Behold, I am against thee, says the Lord of hosts, and I will uncover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, which represents, of course, their sins, and the kingdoms thy shame. And she said, this reminds me of that Roman saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So many of God's people have this sort of attitude right now. But woe unto them. Monique and I were dressed in white, meaning righteousness, and her hair was blonder or lighter, showing righteous living, she says. She looked healthy and new. Her body was different and leaner. She said, in reality, she's always struggled with her weight, which is flesh. Everybody that's got flesh knows what I'm talking about. That's excess weight you don't need. Get rid of the flesh, right? Amen. But this shows that through Christ, we are able to manifest the fruits of the Spirit through His self-control. Amen. And I remember us talking without moving our mouths. We were smiling and moving through a door at the other end of the banquet table into a dazzling white space. So all the talkers and drinkers and all that stayed on one side, but they traveled through this dazzling white space to the other side. The others were not following us, either because they did not see the door, who is Jesus, of course, and they were not invited to that portion of the party. Well, it's true. If all you do is, you know, love to stay drunk and have somebody tickle your ears, and you can stay on the other side. And you got Philippians 3:8-11. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Look at that. Do you count all things to be loss? Here's a man who was trained among the Jews with the knowledge of the scriptures, you know, and all the legalism that went along with it, and all of the apostasy that the people were in, because you can't teach truth if you're in apostasy. And they didn't. They didn't have a right balance of the word. They didn't know what the word was meaning when it said these things. And so they were in darkness. So what did he say? I count all of this to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Is all of your past religious life considered a loss so that you can know the truth of the Lord? And he went on to say, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but refuge, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Amen. We want to have what was given to us in Christ Jesus. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And to stay in Him is to stay in His Word. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, becoming conformed unto His death. Okay, that's the only way you can know Him and have His resurrection life, is have fellowship with His sufferings. You got to take up your cross to follow Jesus, right? Becoming conformed unto His death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Wow. To think that the Apostle Paul wrote this, and he says, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. And he's talking about the resurrection from among the dead. It's called the out-resurrection from among the dead, literally. It's the only place in the Bible it mentions this resurrection. The resurrection from among the dead, meaning there are dead all around the man, and he's being resurrected from among them. Yeah. But he says there's a condition, right? I feel like this dream tells us a few things. Time is short for us to spread the salt and light on a people who need it so desperately. And it's sunset just before it gets really dark. Also, the body of Christ has one mind, and we speak with our hearts and minds, agreeing in faith for those we're in prayer for. Right. We don't need physical contact or verbal utterances. We need not to speak naturally because we're part of one body that has one mouth. By our own strength or works, we do not go into the white space and through the door. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because only because Jesus lives in us, the hope of glory, we abide in Christ and know where we're headed. Monique's beauty in this dream was striking. God makes His brides beautiful. Yes, He does. And my prayer is that the listeners and readers of this dream are strengthened and that it fortifies you in times of trial. You are redeemed and loved and holy. I will continue to pray earnestly for our friends and bless you all. Yes, amen. Okay, we'll do another one here. This has also been given to Claire Pinar. And it's Dreams and Revelations from, I think, about 3:13 to 4:3, 2020. She said, here's a series of dreams and experiences that I've had over the past 2.5 weeks to help us all be ready. And she has a title here to this part, The Bride Will Birth Soon. Around the 13th of March, I can't remember the exact date, I woke up with intense labor pains, but I am not naturally pregnant. I woke up clutching and rubbing at my abdomen the way I did in my real labors years ago. I did a mental check about whether I'd eaten anything strange and where I was in my cycle to ensure that there was nothing else going on. But then I felt the pains as I was awake, and I remember groaning out loud. I started breathing like I was in labor too, but then I fell asleep and only remembered it when I heard a podcast of David's a few weeks back describing something similar with someone else. Even then, I did not want to jump on the bandwagon and share because I don't trust my decaying flesh. And I don't want to be a soothsayer. Yeah, true. And my thought is the bride is pregnant with the life of Jesus, who is soon to be birthed or seen by the world, right? Also, in a larger parable, the man-child is in the midst of the bride, like David was in the midst of Jerusalem, which was the bride, and he was actually the head of the bride, but he was also born of the bride, and will soon be anointed and be seen by the world. That's true. When the world sees Jesus coming in vessels of the body of David, that's what we're talking about. And then she had this, April 1st, 2020. 2 nights ago, I dreamed I was in a white building in a subtropical place at dusk. And she says, dusk is when the darkness is coming spiritually. Yes. There were women in each apartment. I recognized one woman as a Catholic. Well, that's the Apostate Universal Church. I grew up there from my neighborhood. And she was so frazzled. She had so many dirty children with unruly red hair. Well, the red hair, of course, reminds us of Esau, who persecuted the chosen Jacob or Israel, right? She had called her mother on a mobile phone to come and help her, as she could not cope with them on her own. It's hard to handle. If you don't have Jesus, it's hard to handle. And I thought, why did you have so many children if you don't even like them? Yes, true. The thought came to me, more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Yeah. They really hate their children, for they do not show them the way of salvation, because they don't know it, and they haven't searched it out for the sake of their children. They haven't searched it out. I know. I was there. Not after I came out of my birth family. I knew there wasn't anything to the Catholic Church because of the experiences I had with it. And so I just turned away from religion altogether until the Lord caught me and gave me a revelation that there was a truth. Anyway, she was on the first floor in the left corner of the building. Well, of course, they can't get off the bottom floor. And they're in the left because Jesus put the goats on the left. The goats are stubborn and rebellious and self-willed, right? They don't want to eat their Wheaties, grow up. The Universal Church, she said, is pervasive and fertile. They've got their spawn everywhere, and they are not submitted to authority of God at all. And all these unclean women were on the lower levels. Okay. Another woman with dark hair was ready to have twins. She had an IVF treatment and was also very scared of the coming children, as though they would end her life as she knows it, and had scheduled a C-section. And she has in parentheses, this seems to be the apostate Christian church. Things are almost clinical in their approach to be holier than others, quote unquote. And there is fruit, quote unquote, but it's manufactured by their own gospel, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is true. Their fruit is very self-righteous and very self-involved, right? They are scared to lose their lives in order to gain it. Well, when you read the Bible, it's the Word of God that puts to death the old man like the waters of baptism, the washing of the water with the Word. If you don't let the Word change you because of your religion, you're an idolater. And the religion you're in is false, because you'll never bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. They're scared to lose their lives in order to gain it. They do not understand death to self, and they are not concerned with creating true disciples, but would rather have all these standoffish ministries to deal with their children. Her belly was huge, and she was pretty and well put together in terms of dressing and adornment. And she puts the prosperity-minded, wealthy apostate church. But she did not have the heart of a mom. She seemed so ill-equipped. We're all like this when we're first-time moms, so there's no judgment here. However, we must be willing to give up our lives for our children. Otherwise, we're all on the same path as the moms who are frazzled and can't manage their own fruit. Yeah, that's right. It's not only the mother of the harlots that is going to be destroyed. It's the harlots that are going to be destroyed. People brag about being born out of the harlot. Well, are you still a child of the harlot? Right? She wanted to go the same way as the Catholic mom in outsourcing from the get-go, but she was not as fertile and had no external help. And in parenthesis, she said, the apostate churches can never have the reach of the universal church, but they seek the same power and authority in vain. Yep, this is true. She was also on the bottom floor and was pushing a double pram in anticipation, stocked with a diaper bag, diapers, and blankets. In other words, stocked with the things that the world tells you are necessary. And all those things are good for disposing of the excrement. The world is overly concerned with physical output, but real birthers of God's children are concerned with the input into these souls. We have everything that we need to care for the new ones in Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. The milk to feed the children is created in us if we're well nourished and rested. The milk, which is the Word of God, we are well nourished when we eat our portion of the Word with understanding and rest. The rest in Jesus's provisions for all things. That's right. We enter into the rest when we believe the Word of God. All of the promises are for us to enter us into the rest of Jesus, right? And then she goes on to say, I was also pregnant, except I had no visible belly. She said, the world cannot see our fruit. It is hidden from those who are wrapped up in their own selfish toiling. This is true. They won't see it until the baby's born. They won't know what he looks like till he's born. All you got to do, though, is look at the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he said. And guess what? If you've seen Jesus in me, you've seen the Father, right? It's that way. If you got a strange-looking child, maybe that the father isn't the one you think, right? I was washing and preening and shaving my legs like never before. My skin was glistening. I was so clean and so smooth. Even the little hairs on my toes were gone. The bride is spotless and blemishless. The wood, hay, and stubble has been burned away. Amen. My toes were pink, and the toenails were shining naturally like never before. And all this detail of my legs and toes denotes a healthy walk of relying perfectly on Jesus. The corporate bride, even the extremities of her existence, is perfect and healthy, shining like never before. Yes, I agree. I had long, thick, vibrant hair, and I seemed to either be bathing in milk or dressed in a super white garment in a white bathtub. And when I looked down, I could see clearly. I couldn't see clearly because of the white garment. It was so bright. Well, we know another place like that, Revelation 19, where the bride had that luminescent garment on, bright and shining. I thought I had bracelets or jewels on, but now, thinking back, it was only the dazzling garments shining that made me shield my eyes. I was ready to go to deliver the baby. And she had in parenthesis, we must be ready at a moment's notice for the coming of the Lord in his first fruits. And I might add, in another parable, the birthing of the man-child ministry. She said, but I had not been called to the hospital. I could feel the discomfort, and yet I knew it had already happened. There you go. We see Jesus in the mirror by faith, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, he says there. You have to see the end from the beginning, and that's how faith works. If you don't have it, you're not going to see it. The reason a lot of churches teach that you can't be perfect is because they don't believe God can do it either, because they don't walk by faith to see him do it. They don't know what faith is. They don't know that faith is believing you receive something only on the grounds that God said it. And God already has said that he has perfected us. And she goes on to say, I knew I had three blonde children. And I believe blonde hair represents being submitted to the Son, /S-O-N. S-U-N/S-O-N. Submitted. Remember, 1 Corinthians 11 speaks of submission, the hair as submission, right? And they were on the third level of the white apartment building. I think the Lord was showing me that manifesting faith looks like what it looks like. We must look up and believe that we already have the fruit, even if we're going through the process of manifesting it. We must now, more than ever, walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And then I woke up. Yep, this is true. Very good. Very right. Another one from April 3rd, 2020. She said, early this morning, I dreamed I was listening to David Eel speaking about birthing the man-child and the bride. I saw the logo of the UBM podcast, and I could hear him as clearly as if I was really listening to him. He was saying the man-child would flood the earth, and we must make ready. Yes, what do you suppose that means? Well, the man-child will bring a flood of the knowledge and of the fruit of God. Habakkuk 2:14 says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So, knowledge kills the wicked because it makes them responsible to be obedient. And it gives life to the righteous who do obey because they do have faith. You know, faith without works is dead. If you've got faith, the apostle said, I will show you my faith by my works. They say you can't have works. You don't need works. Blah, blah, blah. It's the works of God in you. It's not your works. You see? They don't understand that. They never received the Holy Spirit. They don't understand that. He also said the man, child, and bride are a team. Yes, they are. Jesus and his disciples were a team. I mean, he, the man, child, sowed his seed in the bride. Jesus sowed his seed, the word of God, in the bride, and they were a team. He then sent them out into places he couldn't cover in that one earthly body that he had. you see. So they just kept right on going, making disciples, and kept right on going. This was the plan. It's still the plan today. In fact, it would have been passed on down to us, but no, we had to have a bunch of fruitless teachers in their dead religions, because there had to be a repetition of history of what Jesus found when he came the first time. And that was a bunch of fruitless teachers and dead religions. And let's see, he also said the man, child, and bride are a team. He said we must listen for the signals. The signals? Yes, of them coming forth. You must listen for those signals of them coming forth. You're going to see manifestations, right? He said they're all over and even in unlikely places. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're everywhere. The Lord's doing this. He's doing a worldwide raising up of a man, child, and a bride to repeat the history of the Gospels of Jesus. Then my hearing dream became a watching dream. I saw a couple on a TV screen. I believe this is Jesus and his bride, who looked Middle Eastern, similar to how Jesus is portrayed in all the films of the last decade. They were being interviewed by an American talk show host, but she was not in the shot. And the most important thing, of course, is him, right? This is where our attention must be, right? He was wearing a white garment, and his bride was wearing a pale blue dress and the longest, prettiest veil or head covering, which represents submission to him, I'd ever seen. I thought to myself, she looks more like Mary than the bride. Well, that's interesting. Mary is a type of the bride who births the man-child. And that was the first time Jesus, and of course Jesus is coming in the man-child in our day, and he birthed the man-child by the seed of the Word of God and not of men, right? So this is how the man-child is born individually, in other words, in each person, and corporately, which means the man-child that's coming forth in the midst of the bride, which is in the midst of the church, right? Then he started speaking in a thick accent about homeschooling the man-child. Well, of course, you would not send the man-child out there to a school that is going to wreck their lives like these schools do, teaching all kinds of garbage the deep state has put in them, the apostate leftists have put in them, on. And then those ratty children that are running around that don't know Jesus and don't want to know Jesus, why would you put your child in something like that? Okay, I'm getting off of that, back on this. A thick accent about homeschooling the man-child, keeping the children pure and undefiled from the world. Well, the children here could be the man children, or they could be the children of the bride bringing the fruit of the man child in their own lives. See, many times parables have a, you know, double meaning, and both of them can be true. He said while he had put the curriculum together, that is the Lord. He put the curriculum together. He gave it to us. It's the Bible, right? Had decided what the man-child should be taught. That's the Bible. He was tasking his wife, the bride, to teach the children. Now, Jesus sent the bride, one John the Baptist said was the bride, out to teach the children. And they went out with the knowledge and the seed of Jesus in their hearts. And they called them Christians because they walked like he walked. And they had power like he had. And on and on. And they were holy like he was. So they recognized that better than the church does, like Jesus said. They recognized that. Hey, those are Christians. Yeah. Then they had four books superimposed on the screen, which people could get if they needed more information about this. These were the names of the books that I remember from seeing at the bottom of the TV screen. 12 Ways to Teach the Man Child. Well, isn't that interesting? Jesus sent out the 12 to teach people about the man child. Huh. And another one was, don't use play-based methods to teach maths. In other words, she had in parentheses, don't follow the world's practices to make everything fun and lighthearted. Stick to the boring stuff like drills, daily readings, and practice, practice, practice. Yeah. Well, that's one way of describing it. You know, don't play church with the churchy. We don't have to copy them. We already have written in the Word of God the truth. And believe me, that didn't look like a churchy church at all. There's no way that they did that. They've fallen away from the fivefold ministry. They've gone back to the mother harlot's ways of doing things, right? The Nicolaitan doctrine of conquering the laity by one person who is a priestly order, right? No, that's foolishness. And God said he hated it. Okay, and another one was guard the mother's heart. Okay, you want good children? Guard the mother's heart, right? In parenthesis, she said the bride needs encouragement and refreshment in our task. We must be in the Word more than ever before. And my thought also is that remembering that the Word is what brings forth the fruit of Christ in the parable of the sower. You want Christ to be born to you? You want to come into his image? It can only be the Word. It can't be man's Word. And she said, I can't remember the fourth one. Okay. Then she said that anyone can homeschool the children with the Father's blessing. John 14, 12 through 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. There you go. How is the Father going to be glorified in you unless you ask in his name and then believe you have received as Jesus commanded? He goes on to say here, if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. Do you believe it? Will you endure to the end to see it? That's the point. She then explained that she used Google effectively by praying for the search engine before she opened the computer. Hey, that's interesting. She said, quote, what I search for and what Hillary Clinton searches for are two different things, unquote. Oh, yes. Well, I guess Hillary's probably more the author of Google than anybody else. I don't know. Quote, my search results are different because they are not controlled by the deep state. I know I sound foreign, and I am. I am not from here. But I know the truth. There you go. I think this is a message, she says, straight from God to remind us that in Christ we have dominion and authority over all things. Even Google, when spoken to with the authority of God's Son, must obey. And we're going to see and learn a great many things that will be hidden from those seeking to squash God's reign. And they are seeking to squash God's reign, but he's going to bring them under submission. And let me say that at least one highly technical angel stands by every one of us who can do all things. They are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation, Paul said, and they're highly technical. They can handle this. You can pray that a search will bring up something correctly, and God can do that. He can do all things. And she said, wowzers. This was so encouraging on so many levels, I woke up. I received Job 39 by faith at random with my finger on, quote, go free, unquote, from verse 5. But my eye fell on verse 1, quote, give birth, unquote. Go free, give birth. You can't be free unless you give birth to Christ, right? That's where freedom comes from. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, right? So she said, this very rarely happens because I'm always so keen to see where my finger lands. Yeah, but this happened just to me just the other day. I opened my Bible up and stuck my finger down, but my eyes fell above that in an area that really spoke to me. So the Lord just says, I'm not constrained by your methods. My eyes fell on that just like it happened to her. She said, this time I looked up a smidgen for no reason. Yep, that's what happened to me. And the Lord is speaking here, and he is proclaiming his sovereignty, which is nothing new for the man-child and the bride to hear, as we've been hearing and believing this for a while now. Rian, that's her husband, and I have had access to Sovereign God Book for 10 years. And we've been listening to UBM for slightly shorter than that, and the message has never changed. Well, there's no reason to change it. I had the faction say, you don't ever change your mind. You don't ever change. I said, well, if you get it right the first time, why would you change? So one can read in the context. That's Job 39, 1 through 7. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve? Canst thou number the months that they fulfill? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? I think that's the birthing there. They bow themselves, they bring forth their young, they cast out their pains. Their young ones become strong, they grow up in the open field. They go forth and return not again. Who has sent out the donkey free? Look at that. There it is. Free. Go free. You know, that's what we were. We were donkeys in bondage, stubborn, self-willed, rebellious. And now he says, go free. Or who hath loosed the bonds of the swift? Whose home I have made the wilderness and the salt land his dwelling place. He scorneth the tumult of the city, neither heareth he the shoutings of the driver. Yeah. I asked the Lord for another word and received 1 Kings 3 and 7 with my finger on now. 1 Kings 3 and 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. Good for everybody to realize that. Or you get puffed up thinking that you're doing it. Well, Solomon was the Prince of Peace. The meaning of Solomon, right? And was born to David. And he trusted in God's wisdom. In context, 1 Kings 3, 3 through 7, I'll read that. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great loving kindness, according as he has walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him for him this great loving kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this thy great people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And he blessed him, too. She said a few things stand out from these dreams. Solomon is the man of peace who is born of David, the man of war. And I believe personally that we will see both ministries manifested in the man-child reformers. She goes on to say the next point, Solomon is humble and knows he too is a type of resurrected man-child and needs all that the help that he can get. And his father was the first man-child. Yeah. And another point, God is pleased when we acknowledge our ineffectiveness in our own strength and ask and believe that we will receive wisdom to step into the role of building the temple and rule the kingdom. That wisdom can only come from renewing of our minds in Christ. Yes, this is true. So the message seems to be go free and give birth now. I think so. Amen to that. Okay, we're going to go one more. And this one is about the bride is nearly ready to serve. Claire Pinar. 3:23:20, and also Rion, her husband's notes are in here in blue. So she said, "It was my turn to serve at a banquet." Yeah. Well, the bride is being trained by the man-child to serve the church the word, just as Jesus taught his first fruits disciples that John the Baptist called the bride. Yes. "To serve the food I had been preparing for weeks." How is it that we prepare to teach others if we don't teach ourselves, right? "The bride has been preparing a spiritual feast by being a clean vessel and putting the word in her heart." Amen. She said, "There were many women standing in line." And my thought is all of these women represent groups of Christians desiring to be chosen as the bride, just like in Esther, Song of Solomon. "But I was the last one, the one who is favored like Esther to be the bride. Those who are last shall be first." Matthew 20:16. "My husband was the only one helping me. The rest of them either had their mothers or other women to help them." Women aren't supposed to be teachers. They're supposed to, you know, bring forth the children, right? And why does she have her husband helping her? Well, because as she says, the man-child trains the bride and prepares them, like Mordecai prepared Esther. Right. And Rion wrote here, he said, "The bride relies on the word only and gets its help from the Lord in the man child, not from apostate religions." True. She said, "The cattiness and the ugliness was rampant of these women, right? It was more like a fashion show than a banquet. And Rion says, churchianity has become a vain show. Yes, it is. The other women were all vying for first place. They were very well-dressed in a worldly way, and they were wearing high heels. And she puts a note here, making themselves look higher and holier than they are. Yeah. And Rion said, dressed in worldly apparel for the outward appearance, the bride wears a spotless and blemishless garment. Yes. And she said, I was the last person to serve, and my time slot was 3:20 through 3:30. These 10-minute slots felt like they went on forever. So we have opportunities to serve, you know, more than just once, right? We wait for the next one, and God brings it to us, like we serve one person and then another, right? I wore only white, like the bride in Revelation 19, right? And had a kind, friendly demeanor, like the man-child in Revelation 14 and 4. She is not defiled with the women, right? So the man-child, notice this, Revelation 14 and 4, 144, that's the man-child. But the man-child trained the woman, and what's in the man-child is in the woman also. So if he's not defiled with women, as in that text, she's not either. We don't want their doctrines. We want to go and look in the Word and get our doctrine from Jesus, right? She said, I had a friend who tried to serve before me as she had a slot. She grew up Catholic and is now New Age. But she was not getting it right, as she had a baby on her hip, and friends were distracting her. Linda was her name, and it means serpent. They have no mature fruit. They are distracted from the task at hand, and in fact, they have no idea what the task is because they do not read the Word. This is true. It's sad. You don't need religion at all. You just need to read the Word and find out what the true church looks like before you go get trapped in something that's not, right? She said, I served my food. It was rich figs and white, crumbly, bread-like stuff. It looked like a mixture of white bread, rice, and meringue. I imagine this is what manna looks like. Well, my thought is, we can't serve what we don't have. If you want to serve the manna, that's the man that came down out of heaven that gives life to the world, you have to receive him yourself first, right? It was served with red juice, meaning the blood of the lamb, dripping all over the plate. It sounds weird, but it was beautiful and rich and tasty, and I won the prize, which was to sit next to the king. Yeah, you get a prize for getting it right, and getting it right and sharing it right. You can't get it right and share it wrong. You got to get it right and share it right. You get it right out of the Word and share it right out of the Word, right? And she says, our provision and protection is perfected by Christ alone. Yes, and Rion said, just like Esther was well-pleasing to the king and sat with him. Amen. Some people took pity on me for what they thought was a meager attempt at serving. Most turned away because they thought it was messy. And she has a note, death to self is unbelievable to the unsaved or apostate Christians who don't look of letting God lead, for sacrificing the flesh for the sake of the kingdom. Yes, they don't like the crucified life. It looks bad. They got scriptures that they use that don't have to include that. So, I thought it was beautiful, and it was not for me anyway. It was for the king, and I knew what he'd like. 1 Corinthians 10:31. This might be a second dream or a continuation. Either way, it's a completely different scene. Then I was transported to an area that looked like ancient Egypt. Now, this is very interesting, and I believe it's for us today. I received this a while back, but today is when he impressed me to read it and put some interpretation with it. And listen to this. Then I was transported to an area that looked like ancient Egypt, and there were more women. One of them had black hair in a bob and dressed exactly like Cleopatra. Black hair represents submission to darkness. And I believe it's speaking about Hillary here. Okay, in one form, it may have other revelations. Looked exactly like Cleopatra. She was killing babies and presenting them on a beautiful golden altar. Yep, and that would be to Satan. She was grabbing them from their mothers. Wait till you find out what they just found out. She was grabbing them from their mothers. Their mothers were wailing next to the altar. They were crying because their children had been taken away. And Claire says, this represents the world that we are sacrificing our children to the gods of this world through secular education, vaccinations, or worse. And also, what I saw here very clearly is that this comes at a time when the Trump administration and military is cleaning out the underground tunnels and cities of the deep state and finding thousands of children who were tortured, raped, or sacrificed to Satan. And this tunnel that became very evident led from the Clinton Foundation to the New York Harbor. And I'll give you a link here so you can go look at this story, because a lot of people don't really realize we have been in a civil war against a satanic enemy. And God has raised up Trump to bring down the king of Babylon and the Babylonish deep state. And he's doing a wondrous work. One day this is all going to come to light. Okay. And anyway, this is mostly due, she said, to the fact that people have the mind of the flesh and not the mind of Christ. And by the way, the mind of Christ is freely given in his word. All you got to do is go there and have your mind renewed. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed into what or who? It's Jesus Christ. You eat the word. He said, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He is our new parent. That's the blood that we're born of, not the blood of our natural parents, which brought us the sin of Adam, right? I stood on the altar, and she puts, Christ in us died for it all, and we must trust in his protection and provision. We must intercede in prayer and have faith for the saving of all these children who are on the altar for Molech. It's true. Cleopatra no longer had space to perform her odd rituals, because you have to do it underground, right? You have to do it hidden. And Jeffrey Epstein is gone, and his altar is gone too. Well, the only thing they had left is the underground cities and all these things that they've been doing this in for hundreds of years, or at least 100 years, I should say, 100 years. She had no space to perform her odd rituals. I took up that space, and the wailing stopped. The bride took the space, and the wailing of the mothers who lost their children stopped. So my thought was, that space is being conquered by the grace of God and the bride's prayers, and the children are being saved. And then she went on to say, this was in broad daylight. It's not an accident that that's there, folks. They were just brought out into the daylight. I mean, witnesses saw what I'm talking about, many of them. They were just brought out in the daylight, which many of them have never seen because they were bred and birthed underground. Can you imagine? She said this was in an outside court with large pillars and columns and blue sky overhead. I took the babies and paraded them around for their mothers to see and to hug them. Isn't that something? Now, of course, they're trying to help these babies. They've split their minds and imparted demons to them. And they need your prayers constantly. I hope and I pray that they give them into hands to people who know about deliverance and these things. And, of course, our prayers can count towards that. So, and she gives Matthew 19 and 14. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And she said, this Cleopatra-type woman, which I put Hillary right there, was left powerless. Mm-hmm. 1 John 4:18. I mean, when the world finds out about this, and they will decide that these people are the most disgusting people on the face of the earth that have ever been, the most murderous people and hateful. And it's because they worship Satan. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. Yes, it does. The king of this land, the ancient Egyptian-type land, grew reptilian with anger. He was no longer feeding off the sacrifices of the babies. And that's what she put in the dream. That's what she saw in the dream. The demons no longer had a sacrifice. The people who loved the demons no longer had a sacrifice. His left side became a serpent coiled around his body instead of an arm, and he shouted at me to get down, but I did not. And the bride had taken the altar away from him, and that's exactly what happened. But I did not get down. Cleopatra went to lie down in the shade, and she died. The women took their babies and left. The king tried to swipe me with his serpent arm, but I woke up. Is this awesome or what? I received this by faith at random, Job 36 and 12. My finger was on the word sword and knowledge. But if they hearken not, they shall perish by the sword. They shall die without knowledge. So she goes on to say, hearken to hear and obey. We in Christ hear and obey, which is our sword. And we have knowledge because our minds are renewed. The others don't have the sword. They don't read their Bibles. They don't know God's word. Woe unto them. Yes. And we would not get through the next one, so I won't jump onto that one. But let's just pray. Well, Father, for all the children, Lord, that are raised up by apostates, we ask, Lord, that you give knowledge to these children. We've known children who knew Jesus who even hid under their covers and read their Bibles while their parents never knew God. Lord, save the children. Even if their parents don't want to serve you and are very foolish and given over to their flesh, save the children. And Lord, in a very natural way, save these poor children that are being brought out of these tunnels and underground cities. They said some of these cities were stacked on top of each other. One of them, I think they said, was 40 miles deep in the earth. They have tunnel-making machines that would dwarf six houses. And they go down, 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 or sideways, and they go very fast. And they have these underground, which I've seen the pictures of. Truckers who have driven down in these things to unload their loads have usually had their phone cameras with them and taken pictures of them. I've seen them. These are tremendous places. There's a world underneath the world down there, and it's full of demonic people. And they even have aliens down there. Yes, they do. And I have a friend who witnessed them. They even have aliens down there, but he knew them as demons. They could pass through walls, and they ate children. Oh, my God. Yeah, they ate children. They were served children. They wanted innocent blood. Wow. What's the difference in the humans that have these demons in them doing the exact same things? Friends, we have authority over the power of darkness, and we need to exercise it. Take your authority. You are the one that has the power. You have the sword. Exercise it. Bring down the forces of darkness. Destroy the forces of darkness. We have this opportunity before the middle of the tribulation period to destroy what is there already. Or it will be worse. And I want to tell you that the bride and the man-child are going through this persecution by demon-possessed people before the tribulation period, and they're experiencing a harvest here at the end, a harvest of the fruit that God has brought forth in them through this crucified life. And the church has got to go through the same thing. The church has to go through the same thing, the same series of events to come to the harvest. So guess what? These demon-possessed people are coming back, and they're going to make war against the church in the middle of the tribulation period in order to bring them to the harvest. See, these are harvesters. Who harvested Jesus? Well, the harlot and the beast harvested Jesus. Would you think it would take anything less to harvest the body of Christ on the earth? No. But there is a first fruits harvest and an ingathering harvest at the end, the Bible says. And each of these has to go through these crucifixions and a cutting off of their old flesh in order to be ready for the kingdom of God. So don't think you can stop this. We've come to a temporary lull in this. God used Trump to, quote, give us some time. We need this time to come to bring the church to know God. The bride and the man-child are about to start their ministry in a big way, and it is to train up the church in the ways of the Lord, to rebuild the kingdom. Just like Zerubbabel came out of Babylon, and he was a type of the man-child, born from Babylon. That's what Zerubbabel means. And he raised up again the kingdom of God. Okay, so that's about to happen, is the beginning of the building up of the kingdom of God. Now, Cyrus, as Trump, when he came along, Babylon had destroyed the kingdom of God, including the temple and the city. And he set God's people free from Babylonish bondage, which we just saw, so that they could go back and rebuild the kingdom, for Babylon had destroyed it. So Cyrus came and he conquered Babylon, which is happening now. It was likened in the scripture to the Red Sea. Yes, it was, compared to the Red Sea and God's people going into the wilderness, like those coming out of Babylon, going through the Red Sea and going into the wilderness. He's compared those two parables, and they mean the same thing, and that's exactly what's happening today. Keep praying for what they call the white hats. I understand that they're conservatives and they're on the right, and at least they would give Christians, you know, the freedom to rebuild their kingdom. And, you know, not that they're all born again, that they're not, but they're, you know, favoring the Christians. They've seen the devil. Yes, they have. And they've seen the devil's kingdom. They're faced with it constantly. We can tell that the leftists are the most factious people on the face of the earth. And they want to destroy Trump. And in the church, they want to destroy the man-child. It's too late for either one. They're failed in both counts. And the word is going to go forth that rebuilds the kingdom. God's people are going to come out from among them and be separate and go into the wilderness following the man-child. And that's going to be because their leadership has been destroyed either in their eyes and in their mind or in fact, so that they will follow the man-child into the wilderness. Now, let me say, I believe that the Babylonish deep state has basically destroyed the church in a spiritual way. And they want to attempt even more of that before this is over and take down the mega churches and the mega pastors and the people that don't follow the Lord. They want to take that down too. They want to bring all that down. And I got to tell you, God does too. God does too. So it's an awesome plan that the Lord's had. He's bringing it to pass. He's got people out there praying exactly what they're supposed to pray in order to bring this to pass. Because if you remember in Revelation 12, the dragon and his angels, that's Satan and his angels, and yes, they were called angels, fought with the Lord's angels, Michael and the angels, and they won their fight because of the saints on the earth praying and believing and walking under the blood and having the word of their testimony and so on. That's what it says, Revelation chapter 12, because they loved not their life unto death. Okay, that's the death of self. So there are people who are empowering Michael and his angels because they know we've been given authority. Jesus gave us authority to do this. Most of the church has no idea what they were born to do. Okay. But he's given us authority to bring down and to cast down Satan's kingdom. Will it always be that way? Well, it's always going to be that way, but there's a time when you don't want to cast down Satan's kingdom. And that is when they're doing the work of God of bringing the saints to the cross. Jesus knew that, and that's what he did. He did not try to go beyond the authority that he received from God. So in the middle of the tribulation period, let me tell you, communists, just like the communists we're looking at out there now, they don't call them that. They call them they're so socialists or democratic socialists. But all of these people are communists when they get in power. All of them. You just better be so glad Hillary didn't get in power because they had a plan. That's why they invaded this country with Islam. They had a plan to totally overthrow and destroy Christianity. And this is a delay so that we have time to rebuild the kingdom. And we're so thankful to God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, let us, Lord, fulfill the work you sent us to do. We so desire to begin the building of the kingdom of God the way it was before Babylon destroyed it. The way it was to come out of Babylon and to come to the promised land and to live on the promises of God, to walk by faith as true Christians do, and see the end of the devil's kingdom, and even the fact that they have authority to bring to their cross those who have not died to self yet. And yes, Lord, they have a work to do. We can't take their work away from them. They cooperate with God in the process, even though they don't believe that. They do cooperate with God in the process. And the harvest must come. The mark of the beast, saints, is not the devil's plan. It's God's plan. He uses vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Vessels of honor would be, of course, the bride, the man-child, the true church. Vessels of dishonor, those fake churches out there. And the Muslims who are gathered together, the leftists who are gathered together, the homosexual lobby who's gathered together. How do all of these groups hate Christianity so much that they want to destroy it? The Satanists who've gathered together, the witches have gathered together, all of these people have gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed. But they can only do what God permits, and He has ordained them to bring about a sacrifice of the flesh of God's people, to harvest God's people, to bring them completely into the kingdom of God. And if you understand the sovereignty of God, you'll understand what I'm saying. If not, please read our book, Sovereign God. For us and through us. He is sovereign for us, and everything around us is to create sons of God, all of it. Even the wicked are there to create the sons of God. They brought Jesus to His cross, and that's where we got our salvation. So you see, if they hadn't brought Jesus to His cross, we wouldn't have our salvation. They sacrificed the flesh of Christ. So we need them until their time is up. And we don't need them to take authority when they don't have it. And the Lord gave authority. He first gave authority unto Haman to destroy the people of God. The king did. He represents God. And when they cried out in repentance because of their sins, He took that authority away from Haman and He gave it to Mordecai, which means little man or man-child, who had taught and raised up the bride to be the bride. And the whole story is there. Now we're in that portion there where He is permitting the bride to destroy Haman and the beast underneath him. Praise be to God. It's a good time. The time is coming when things will reverse and go the other way. That will be when the man, child, and bride have trained the church in the ways of the kingdom, and they're then able to stand. You see, they can't stand right now. They couldn't cooperate with God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? They are not agreed with God. They would not stand in the tribulation. They would not stand for Jesus if they were threatened to lose their heads, would they? No. But when the Pride and the man-child have come together to be able to teach the ways of the kingdom to the church, and they are raised up to be strong. They will be able to stand. Those elect from the foundation of the world will stand. Those that are hidden among the church, who are Judas's then at that time, they will not stand. They will fall away. And this way, God will have a spotless, blemishless bride. It's his plan to do this. So all those out there trying to do away with the mark of the beast and trying to do away with the beast, listen, this reversal for the beast kingdom is temporary. It's coming back. You need to quickly redeem the time. Draw near to the Lord. Find out who he is. Sow him in your heart through the word of God. Manifest Jesus, because Jesus is the only one going to heaven. Did you know that? No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. That's right. It's Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Who's got the hope of glory? You? No, Jesus in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, you are dying. He is taking your place. He is living in that body. As you humble yourself to the Word of God and the Word of God puts to death your old life, it's Jesus in you that now can take your soul to heaven. Right. We must bear fruit. In the parable of the sower, Jesus made it very plain. 3 out of 4 fell away, and only one bore fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Without this fruit, you have no place in the kingdom of heaven. You would pollute it. And it is here that we must grow the fruit. The plant is planted in the earth. The fruit grows up out of the plant. Then the Lord comes and picks the fruit. He doesn't want the plant, as I've always said. It's not the plant. It's the fruit. The fruit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How do you get Christ in you? Put the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, down in your heart. Right? Oh, glory be to God. All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, saints. I love you. Appreciate you. Keep me in prayer, too. And have a good evening. God bless.